the Caring Committee. Our church covenant directs us to care for one another, and indeed we do. But several years ago, the Caring Committee searched for ways to bring caring among us to a new level, and I think we've done that by sponsoring a program that cares for people who care for people. We introduced to our community a program called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. And Lynette McGowan, who you will hear from later, is from the Larimer County Office on Aging, is here. And she will be in the social hall with additional information about the program after the service. But the program is a nationally recognized one, locally sponsored by her office, the Larimer County Office on Aging. It's for persons giving care to loved ones. Could be a child, a spouse, parents, or someone else. It engages participants to recognize themselves as caregivers and provides knowledge of area resources, teaches useful communication skills, and encourages mutual support. Sometimes the caregivers are overlooked in the process. Foothills, partnering with Plymouth Congregational Church, offered this program early last spring, offered two programs like this early last spring. About 14 members from this congregation and about 10 from Plymouth participated. This fall, we will offer another session. The details are in the program. We are evolving our concept and practice of giving care among us. So I light the chalice this morning for all those who are caregivers, formally or informally, that they feel the light of love and strength of a larger community who sees their caring and affirms it in blessings, love, and support.
My favorite workshop at General Assembly in June was a presentation called Love the Hell Out of the World. It was put on by a number of my colleagues who have taken to calling themselves the Red Pill Brethren. Let's see how much recognition there would be about what that means. It's after that moment in The Matrix where Keanu Reeves is offered the choice to either return to the fabricated perfect world or awaken to the much harder and harsher actual reality. And he chooses the red pill, but then must face the challenges, or maybe the hell, you might say, that has been around him all along. He has just been asleep to its reality. The workshop, as you might deduce, was about how we could bring our universalist message of love to bear not on a hell that is to come after this life, but on the hell that is all around. They asked us to consider, where is the hell in your neighborhood, the neighborhood of your church? And what would love ask you to bring to that pain and suffering? To extend the metaphor, how can you liberate more of the world from the fires of hell? Again, not hell somewhere else, some other time, but right here and right now. So we broke into congregation-based clusters, after which we were to report back about our answers to these big questions. Again, it's, you know, what's the hell of your neighborhood, and what would love ask your congregation to do in response to that? So one brave soul got up, and she confessed that her group struggled with the questions. They were, after all, she said, located in mostly white, middle, upper-class suburbia. Everyone around them had nice houses, nice lawns, enough to eat, plenty of education, running water, you get the idea. What kind of hell did their neighborhood really have? With a somewhat surprising level of aggression, the room erupted. Domestic violence, alcoholism, unemployment, mental illness, loneliness, parenting struggles, debt, PTSD of returning vets. The list kept going, and the brave person who had come to the microphone shrunk down a little more with each new example, until finally the room seemed to run out of examples, and she said, "Oh, that's helpful." Over the past few Sundays, we have been exploring themes of liberation. What does it mean to be liberated? What are we liberated for? Is there such a thing as single, free individual who has their own free will? How can we live into a truer sense of freedom as a part of the greater interdependent web? When we ask these questions, we might find ourselves like the woman at the microphone, imagining that liberation is required for someone else, in some other context, not in our neighborhood. But then we go back into our own lives and we find ourselves with all kinds of challenges and struggles. Maybe we wouldn't call it hell, but I'm guessing that most of us face at least some days when maybe it feels like we should. As Bill described in his chalice lighting, the source material for this service is our experience from our Powerful Tools for Caregivers small group ministry that we had in the winter, and the stories of those who provide care of some kind to someone they know, a family member, a friend, a spouse. In these tales of the everyday, in helping someone dress, eat, sleep, share stories, listening, laughing and crying together, struggling through the effects of illness or injury, chronic or short term, there are sites that might as easily bring us either tastes of heaven or the depths of hell. Locations for struggling and suffering, or transformative, life-giving liberation. As we lift up some of these stories of our everyday, and perhaps as you reflect on these stories of your own, I invite us to consider, like that workshop, what love asks of us, what it means for us in our own neighborhoods to keep on loving the hell out of this world. The stories of caregiving, as you heard, are often stories of endurance more than they are of what you might call liberation. They are stories of illness that cannot and just will not be made simply better. Stories of doing more than you thought you could do for someone and yet still feeling pretty helpless. And so often they are stories of a heartbreak that cannot be simply fixed. Which means that the path of liberation looks less like returning to some kind of previous notion of normal, but rather about an acceptance of and an integration of a new kind of normal. A few months ago, the LA Times ran an article entitled, "How Not to Say the Wrong Thing." It was written by Susan Silk and Barry Goldman. It was a brilliant article, proposing what the authors called the ring theory of kvetching. Attached to the article was a diagram, and I'm going to try and call it to mind right now for all of you, so see if you can follow me. So in the middle is the person that's most impacted by whatever issue or crisis might be going on. They call that person the aggrieved or the afflicted. You might say the ill or, you know, whatever. They said it can apply broadly, not just to illness or injury, but whatever kind of struggle might be going on. And then around that person are rings of people who are in relationship with them. So maybe most immediately would be their significant other, their parent, their sister, etc. I'm guessing that this ring is where our caregivers would fall. The ring after that would be friends or colleagues. and then another ring with a wider community beyond that. This outer ring, that's where we as a congregation would fall, as a wider community. We are not, and we need not be, on the front lines of every crisis. But we are often in the orbits of many who are. And there is so much that we can do to support these, our friends, our family, and sometimes, maybe inevitably, eventually, us. So much love we can bring to bear on the struggles of those who care for others. So much support and comfort that we can bring to help their path of endurance. The authors of the article propose a flow of care from one ring to another, a way to help us be more helpful to those on a smaller ring than our own. The slogan they propose is, "Comfort in, dump out," which is their shorthand way of saying the outer ring is always responsible for comforting that next ring, next smaller ring. They would never look to support from that next smaller ring. It's comfort in, dump out. So we, this wider circle, we can be the circle strengthening those circles smaller and closer to that inner person. We can bring the love and strength of that wider community, holding all these stories of everyday life in its brokenness and its blessing. We can sit down and cry with our friends. We can laugh, learn, listen, be present. We can say, "That sounds so hard. You are so strong and so brave." We can ask, "What support do you need?" This is one of the main ideas behind small group ministry generally, and Powerful Tools specifically. And really, I would say it's one of the main ideas of our faith. We are all in this together, and we need not walk this road alone. As much as any march or advocacy work or consciousness raising, as much as any meditative practice or search for enlightenment, as much as anything we may do to seek liberation for ourselves or others, this is the work of liberation and the path of freedom. Simply showing up, listening to each other's stories, and heeding the call of love. May it be so, and amen. I've invited Lynette McGowan from the Office on Aging to share our final benediction.
So I guess I'm in that outer circle often. I have the privilege of spending time with care partners, caregivers and care receivers, and it's a sacred place to be. The benediction and then a final blessing. An unavoidable truth about being a caregiver is that you have to learn the lesson of letting go. You will not be able to control the other's affliction. You cannot protect them from the effects of any illness. You must surrender your ability to make everything go right exactly as you wish. None of this letting go is easy. You may find yourself resisting it at every turn. Yet it is important to remember that there is also much you need not surrender. You do not have to let go of who you have been and who you are, of all that makes you distinctly you, nor do you have to let go of the uniqueness of the one you care for. You can still treasure the love you have had and still feel. You can continue to embrace all you remember, all you have learned, all you have shared. You can preserve your faith and your hope, even as you are preserved by them. You can exert a certain control over your perspective, over the rituals of how you spend time together, over the ways in which you spend time apart. Must you let go? Yes. Is there much you can always keep? Absolutely. And my final blessing, love is not a possession but a growth. The heart is a lamp with just enough oil to burn for an hour. And if there be no oil to put in again, its light will go out. God's peace is the oil that fills the lamp of love. Go in peace, fill your lamp with love, practice being in the presence of the caregiver of all. Amen.